Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Please be seated. But Jesus answered and said, "Were not the 10 made clean? But where are the 9? Has no one been found to return and give glory to God except this foreigner?" Venerable religious, dear parishioners, we have before us a historical occurrence. This is not just a parable, a story that our Lord told to get across a point. This was a historical event. And I'm sure you are, as I am, shocked that nobody came to say thank you, except for the Samaritan. And so I would like to speculate as to why none of the 9 came. And I believe I've come to a better understanding than in years past, and I'd like to explain that to you. As we know, our Lord went throughout His people, the chosen people, the Israelites. And there were times when everybody in the crowd was cured. Now, let's put ourselves back 2,000 years. We don't have the miracles of modern-day medicine. It's amazing what modern medicine can do. I don't think I need to explain that. We're very well aware of that. So people had the most primitive types of medicine available. I mean, even as of, say, 150 years ago, the dramatic change from 150 years ago to now is just mind-boggling. But we're going back 2,000 years. And one of the worst conditions that could happen to people is to contract leprosy. And once it was certified that somebody had leprosy, for which there was no cure, it was only because of antibiotics in the last 100 years ago we've learned to control leprosy to a great extent. So if somebody contracted leprosy, you were taken away from your family and you couldn't see your family for the rest of your life. You were confined to the leper's colony. Your body would rot on you until you died. We're talking about a living death here. So our Lord was curing lepers. He gave sight to the blind, made deaf people hear, even raised dead people to life. And people would just press in on our Lord just to touch Him. If I just touch Him, if I just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be cured. Imagine how happy these people were. Deliriously, ecstatically happy. Because nothing like that was available. There was no medicine that would make things like this happen. And we're talking about genuine cures, instantaneous cures. But even as our Lord was going through His people, and the more He cured and gave out these blessings, there was also something happening, I believe, and that was the sense of entitlement. Jesus, You owe me. You've done it to those people, and I have this need. Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. But You really owe me because You're doing it so much. And when the 9 were rescued from a living death, none of them found a need to go and say thank you. Because that's what Jesus is supposed to be doing. He's supposed to be curing all of us, taking away all of our ills, fixing all of our problems. Of course, our Lord always did things the right way. He worked his miracles because he was proving his divinity. He was proving that he was the Messiah. But it wasn't to keep going on and constantly working miracles. And so they did dry up in great measure. Or if they happened, it was because people humbly and perseveringly petitioned him. And he could see that it was a spiritual growth going on in these people. And therefore he rewarded them with that cure that they were wishing so desperately. I think this points to another thing, to our fallen human nature, the downside of gift giving. Let's say that somebody is always being given gifts, and there isn't a corresponding sense of gratitude for that. Will there not be a sense of entitlement? You're supposed to be giving me these things. You owe it to me. As I look back in my childhood, I'm so grateful for my parents. Whenever I got a $5, $10, and boy, that was a lot of money when I was growing up, for my birthday from grandma or an uncle or aunt, I remember my parents saying, "You are going to sit down and write a letter of thank you. And you're going to mail it." I realize now my parents wanted to preserve me from, I believe, a sense of entitlement. It's my birthday. It's time for me to be paid. Those are gifts. And the antidote against a sense of entitlement is gratitude. But as we see today, the 9 Israelites felt like there was no need to say thank you. The Samaritan, the one who recognized he was outside the pale, he was outside the ambit, the circle of the chosen people, he realized his need for gratitude. And he fell on his face, praising God. Where are the 9? My brethren, I think we see more clearly that why we have to pray sometimes for weeks, months, and years for things. Because if we always got something as soon as we asked for it from God, would not we develop an ever-increasing sense of entitlement? God always owes it to me. And we have to remember, we don't always know what is in our best interests. And so God does sometimes say no to us. And if it's something that is indeed needed for us, because we have to perseveringly pray for it, we value it, we are more filled with gratitude. My dear brethren, if I may even say so, I would say this is one of America's greatest problems. And I say this because we are spending ourselves into oblivion as a nation. We take in probably 60 or 70 cents for every dollar we spend. And we are going over a financial brink. It simply cannot be sustained forever. The constant borrowing and borrowing. Why? So we can give more and more and more. I think it was this that President Kennedy, and I'm not saying this because I'm a fan of John F. Kennedy, but at his inaugural address, he says, "Don't ask what your country can do for you. ask what you can do for your country. I think he sensed the problem with entitlement. The more that's given, the more is expected. But I'm afraid his words were not heeded. This is not to say that I'm opposed to the country, the government, helping out people when they are truly in need. My own family, when I was growing up, we needed something to help us get on our feet. And we did get on our feet. But I think that America's problems in general, again, go back to the sense of, and unfortunately, politicians will keep promising, I'll give you this, I'll give you this, I'll give you this, and more, and more, and more, and more. It can't be sustained. So at a very fundamental level, whether we're talking personally or broadly, as a country, we need to have more gratitude. To be grateful for everything. Better to be too grateful than not grateful enough. Because, again, it's not like life is going to be that way, always handing us things. It's not for our own good. It's when we have to struggle and strive and work hard. That ethic of working hard, I really have to toil by the sweat of my brow. That's something that God put on our first father, Adam. By the sweat of your brow shall you earn your bread. And that's the way it has to be for everybody. I'm not saying that charity should go away. No, we need to practice charity. But today the reflection is more upon those who receive, not upon those who give. There's a responsibility when it comes to receiving. And there must be that strong, hard work ethic. I would even say historically, it's what made our country, what built up our country. People rolled up their sleeves, were willing to work hard, and on their backs, America was built up. Do we have an antidote besides, well, perhaps I should put it this way. Do we have an example for gratitude? Let us look at the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And we are going to look at her hymn of thanksgiving. This is right after she becomes the Mother of God, the Queen of Heaven and Earth, the Mistress of the World. What does she do? Does she sit back and say, oh, time for the adulations to flow to me? No, she goes to help her cousin. And her cousin, and she's pregnant with little John the Baptist within her. He leaps for joy in his mother's womb. He's sanctified of original sin. Elizabeth is filled with faith and the realization that the incarnation has taken place. She starts to praise Our Lady. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. How is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She was filled with gratitude. Two saints, the Mother of God, St. Elizabeth, filled with gratitude for what God had done to them. Let's listen to these words now that Mary says. By the way, I asked the sisters to sing this hymn today during Mass so that to help us reflect on the gratitude that we need to keep developing to our Lord God. And as we know, there's very little written about Our Lady in the New Testament. But what's there is very profound and very great. And today we get to look right inside the heart of our mother, right inside her mind, because these are the words that come out of her, and they are just a litany of gratitude because she knew that she had nothing of herself and it all came from God. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. When you say spirit, you could also say heart. She could have said, my heart has rejoiced in God my Savior. Because he has regarded the humility of his handmaid, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. So Our Lady is saying, he's acknowledged my humility. A couple of Sundays ago, we talked about humility. And how was Our Lady's humility more than anything else that drew God down into her womb? And so he's saying, God has acknowledged that, but because of who he is, all generations shall call me blessed. Because he that is mighty hath done great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is from generation unto generations to them that fear him. He has showed might in his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the conceit of their heart. My dear brethren, we should fear pride so much, because God will resist us and he will scatter us to whatever extent we fall into pride. He hath put down the mighty from their seat and hath exalted the humble. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath received Israel his servant, being mindful of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. O Holy Heart of Mary, may we learn from the gratitude that filled thy heart and overflowed it. May we recognize how needy we are, how good God is, and how our lives should be a hymn of praise, a hymn of thanksgiving for all of thy blessings. Let us never be found wanting in humble and sincere gratitude. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.